We are continuing in this series on how to survive life's challenges. Today I'd like to talk about how do you survive while running away from God. I don't know if you ever experienced this as a child, but I do remember on one occasion running away from home. I was all of 12 years old. I don't remember exactly why I was doing it. I did have a bit of an argument with my mum. Can't remember the details now. But I thought, I've had it. I'm 12 and I'm going out into the world on my own. So I walked down to the corner, all of about 300 metres. I didn't think to take anything with me. And I really didn't know where I could go anyway. And as I stood there next to the post box, I concluded that running away isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And I want to say to you today, when we try to run away from God, that also has its problems. There is a guy in the Bible who made exactly this decision. His name is Jonah. You don't have to know too much about the Bible to have at least heard about the story of Jonah and the great fish that swallowed him. And this is one of those books in the Bible where skeptics like to point to it and say, aha, this proves the Bible is not true. That could never have happened. I heard about a little girl who was studying about the oceans, and a teacher said to the students, nobody needs to worry about going near the ocean because there is no creatures in the ocean that can swallow a person whole all in one bite. And the little girl raised her hand and she said, well, I learned in church that a large fish swallowed Jonah whole. And the teacher scoffed at her and said, it's impossible, it could never happen. And the little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah myself. To which the teacher replied, well, what if Jonah didn't make it to heaven? And the little girl said, then you ask him. This story, in a nutshell, is about God's plan for Jonah's life, about God's love for all people, and fundamentally about Jonah's refusal to do what God called him to do, as well as the lengths to which Jonah went to try and run away from God. And if you're going to run away from God, or if you are presently running away from God and you want to be successful, you must, number one, accept your separation from God. When you run from God, you are not separated because God has moved away from you. You are separated because you have chosen to run away from God. Look how this story unfolds here in the Bible. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. And he went down to the sea coast to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. And he bought a ticket and he went on board. Now look at verse 3. He went down to the sea coast, circled down. This not only indicates the geographic direction of Jonah's life, but the spiritual direction of his life as well. And the New American Standard Translation says he went down to Joppa and then down into the boat. And here's the deal. If you are going to survive a runaway life from God, you must just accept the overall decline and the downward spiritual spiral of your life and your soul. Here is a caution for anybody here who might be running from God. It might appear that your life is just fine. You might say things are going very well. You might be enjoying what seems to be your freedom from God. But I must tell you, sooner or later, you're going down, 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 down. It's just a fact of life. Notice Jonah goes down and he must pay for the ticket. We always pay when we live a life separated from God. In verse 4, suddenly the Lord flung a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm and that threatened to send them all to the bottom. He goes down to the boat alone. He must pay the full price alone. And now he's confronted with a storm. He's separated from God. Jonah didn't just try to run, he tried to hide. God said, go this way, and Jonah went that way. And not only did he try to run the opposite direction, but he boarded a boat with a bunch of sailors, and he tried to hide in the crowd. Can you hide from God? Notice how Jonah's separation from God increased. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was about 900 kilometres to the northeast of where Jonah was. But Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish, which was 4,000 kilometres to the southwest, just south of Gibraltar. In other words, for Jonah to get back to where God wanted him, instead of travelling 900 kilometres, now he would have to travel 4,900 kilometres to get back onto the place where God wanted him. Running from God creates a long, hard road home. But if you are going to run, you can't care about the separation. You just must accept it. Number two, you must be apathetic about those who are closest to you. In other words, if you are going to run from God, you cannot afford to care about anybody else but yourself. It'll take all the energy you have just to care about yourself. You can't care about anybody else if you're going to run away from God. Jonah gets on the boat. God sends a storm on the water because of Jonah. The other people who are on the boat are terrified. They knew the storm wasn't for them. It was because of Jonah. But because they are in the same boat with him, they suffer too. And I've heard people excuse their lousy lifestyle choices and their addictions and their sinful thought patterns, all because they think that it's their life and it's not hurting anybody else. Wrong. Our behaviours and our lives are enmeshed with the lives of everybody around us in the boat. For you, it could be your spouse or children or co-workers or friends. People are affected by what you choose to do or choose not to do. When we sin, the consequences of our sin has tentacles that reach out and affect everybody who's near us. That's why Jonah says to the sailors, just throw me overboard and you'll be spared from the storm. He's on his way to turning back to God at this point. Some people in your life might be praying right now this verse in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, where God says, I will take away their hearts of stone and I'll give them tender hearts instead. Number three is a big one. You really must be careful here, because God has captured the hearts of many a runaway. Number three, you cannot turn to God when times are tough. No, you can't need God. It's all up to you. And this is where Jonah really messed up as he ran from God. He didn't do this one very well at all. He caved in. He went from independence to dependence. He cried out to God, and just like God, God helped him and rescued him. Listen to Jonah's testimony in Jonah 1 and verses 17 through to chapter 2, verse 10. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the world of the dead, and the Lord, you heard me. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah on the beach, and it did. If you're going to run from God, you can't pray. What is this all about? You must be strong enough to carry all your own worry. You must be smart enough to solve all your own problems. You must be rich enough to pay off all your debts. You must be healthy enough to live forever, because it's all up to you. You better be big enough, bad enough, strong enough, rich enough, well enough. I mean, it's all up to you, nobody else. But here is the deal. If you ever totally humble yourself and sincerely admit your need to God, he promises to come alongside you and get you through. Look what he will provide. Number one, he will provide strength. Whenever you are weak and you cry out to God, he promises if you want his help, he will give you strength. Psalm 62, verse 11, God said this once for all. How many times have I heard it repeated? Strength comes straight from God. This is talked about so many times in the Bible. And Psalm 147 and verse 11. Those who fear God get God's attention. They can depend on his strength. And number two, God will provide all you need. I didn't say that he'll give you everything you want, but he will provide all that you need. And Psalm 54 verse 4 says, God is my helper. The Lord is the provider of my life. Number three, he will provide help. The Bible says in Isaiah 25, verse 4, you protect the helpless when they are in danger. You are like a shelter from storms. And Romans 5, verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And number four, he will give comfort. God will give you comfort. If you are distressed, he will comfort you. And look at the promise in Isaiah 30, verse 18. The Lord wants to show his mercy to you. He wants to rise and comfort you. The Lord is a fair God, and everyone who waits for his help will be happy. What will it take to get you to turn to God? Is it going to take another storm in your life? 3 days in the digestive tract of a big fish? Is it going to take you coming to a place of utter helplessness to get you to turn to God? If you're running away from God, I have some good news for you. He will never force you at gunpoint to do something that you don't want to do. Is that good news? That means that if you want to run from God, he'll let you. And if you want to face all your troubles on your own, all your pains, all your crises, if you want to face death and even all your sin totally alone without his help, God will let you. Is that good news? If you want to survive while running from God, number four, you cannot, under any circumstances, yield to God's chase of grace. You just can't. If Jonah at any point had looked over his shoulder, he would have seen God hot on his heels, pursuing him with grace and love, with his arms outstretched, ready to embrace him. And if we read the 48 verses of Jonah correctly, you will see God pursuing Jonah all through his life. In verse 1, God is talking to Jonah, and he's laying out his plan for Jonah's life. Maybe God's been talking to you, and you read this story and you will see God's fingerprints all over the place. God loved Jonah so much that he embraced Jonah with grace. You see, God sending the right ship to carry Jonah. He sends a storm to wake up Jonah. He sends sailors to help Jonah. He even had that great fish to spare Jonah's life so he didn't drown. It wasn't pleasant, but it was protection. It's even God's grace that the fish spat Jonah out. How could that be God's love and grace? Think about this. There's only two ways out of a fish. God loves this guy. Here's something you must understand. I don't really want you to be misled. If you're running away from God, look at the footprints of God following you, pursuing you with grace and with love. And since the day that you were born, God has been desiring to have a relationship with you. For some of you, God has allowed circumstances to get your attention, to draw you to himself, because the one who created you loves you. And I must be honest with you, Jonah couldn't do it. He couldn't keep running. He started caring for those around him in the boat. He couldn't stand separation from God for too long. When life began to hurt, he asked for God's help, and the God who'd been pursuing him with love, the same God who he had once served, responded and rescued Jonah. But now, if you can keep running after all that, there's one more tip that you'll need. Number five, you must abandon God's plan for your life. And said another way, you must trade God's purpose for chaos. This means choosing to live a life of self-directed life. It means running from here to there, chasing happiness and never finding it. It means living a tentative, futile, dangerous life like a candle in the wind. What that means is when you abandon God's plan for your life, you're on your own. And after Jonah stopped running, he decided to turn toward God. And we see some very precious words here in the Bible in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. After Jonah ran away from God and decided to turn back to God, God still had a plan for his life. To keep running from God, you cannot believe that God gives second chances. Those who run from God must believe that second chances do not exist, that God is not a forgiving God, but a vengeful, wrathful God. Maybe you heard the story about Operation Desert Storm, where one of the soldiers received a Dear John letter from his girlfriend while he was overseas. His girlfriend broke up with him, and to add insult to injury, she wrote these words: "Would you please return that favourite photo of myself? I need it for my engagement picture in the local newspaper." That hurts. This guy was devastated. But the other soldiers came to his rescue. They went throughout the entire camp and collected all the other soldiers' photos of their girlfriends, and they put them in a shoebox. The broken-hearted soldier sent the shoebox to the girl back home with this note: "Please find the picture and return the rest, because for the life of me, I can't remember which one you are." We often have an entirely wrong picture of God. Like, God delights in punishing, God loves to judge and wants to rain vengeance down on all who sin. And most people believe or don't believe that God cares, but he does. And most people believe that God is not reaching out, but he is. And most people believe that God wants to judge, but he doesn't. Most people believe that God gives up on us easily, but he won't. And most people believe that it's hard to be saved, but it's not. I've known the Lord now for 68 years. I came to Christ as a 10-year-old boy. And he's been with me my whole life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I know what God knows about me. And I've come to know this about him, that God hates sin. He just does. He hates what sin does to me and to you. He hates what sin does to others. I know that about him. But I also know this about God. God hates sin, but he loves to forgive even more. He really does. God desires to forgive more than he desires to judge. I know this for a fact about God, and even Jonah had to acknowledge this about God. And if you read the book of Jonah, it'll only take you about 15 minutes to read the whole thing. You'll see that Jonah says three very specific things about God. Jonah says, God, I know that you give me what I don't deserve. You are a life-giving, gracious God. I know this about you. And then he says, God, I know that you are compassionate. And then he says, thirdly, I know that you are filled with loving kindness. This means love based on a promise, love based on a covenant, love based on an oath or a vow. In the New Testament, God said, I make a promise that I am ready to forgive. I love you. He allowed his son Jesus to die through the shedding of his blood. It's kind of like a blood oath or a blood covenant. And every time Christians in churches have communion or take the Lord's Supper, like we did last Sunday, we drink that little bit of juice to remind us of the new covenant, the new promise of God. I'm ready to forgive you and I love you. And Jonah said, God, I know you are just like that. How does this picture of God stack up with the picture of God that you've been carrying around in your mind? Look what Jesus himself said about God. In John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but has eternal life. And then look at the very next verse. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. That's it. That you would know him and love him and show your love by living your life for him. And that was God's plan for Jonah. He wanted Jonah to experience his love. And he wanted Jonah to tell others about his love, specifically to the Ninevites. God wants you to know him and to love him. And he wants you to make his love known to your neighbours and your co-workers and your kids and your parents and to faraway places in the world. God has a global agenda and he wants you to be a part of it. You say, if that's his plan, can God really use me? I've been running away from him. I would simply say, look at Jonah. He's the first missionary mentioned in the Bible, and he's the worst. The worst preacher in the whole Bible. Yet he came to know and experience God's love. The whole city of Nineveh came to know and experience God's love because of Jonah's teaching. God is powerful enough to work through men and women with bad theology or mixed motives or hard hearts or flawed politics as badly as we might even communicate that message, as badly as we might live. He somehow uses us. And it's my hope that God would use all the Jonahs amongst us here today. Here's a cool truth. God doesn't need me, but he wants me. And he doesn't need you, but he wants you. The question then becomes, not could I live a better life? We could all live a better life. The question is, am I living my life knowing and experiencing God's love? And am I in any way helping others to know and experience God's love also? But if you're running away from God, that might not matter to you. Yet, I must tell you though, it matters to me. It matters to me whether you have known and are experiencing God's love. It matters to me. Friend, I want you to know God's love for you. He proved that by sending his Son, not to judge you, but to save you. Jesus died instead of you on a cross for sins he never committed. He was perfect. He died for all that was sinful and ugly and rebellious in you and in me. But he didn't stay dead. The Bible says he rose from the dead. He defeated the sting of death, the grasp of the grave. He proved he is God's Son. Why would you want to run away from him? Are you ready to ask the Lord to be in your life? And if you are, then I would ask you to repeat this prayer after me. You don't have to say it out loud. This is just you speaking quietly to God. This is now you and God talking. Please say after me if you want to pray this prayer. God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of pretending. I don't care about anyone but myself. God, I need your help, your strength, your comfort, your guidance in my life. I believe Jesus is your Son. And right now, I'm asking you to become the forgiver of my sin and the new leader of my life. God, I don't understand what all that means, but I know I need you and I want to begin living my life for you. Thanks for coming into my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, then I encourage you to speak to someone before you leave here today, because there are people here who can help you and encourage you to take the right steps in the future.